You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're really glad to be with you tonight here in hour number one. We come to you at this time every Sunday evening, and we're really glad you could join us. We have a terrific show lined up for you in just a moment. We're going to be joined by former CIA clandestine officer Robert David Steele, and we have a lot to talk about on the topic. The tragic topic of child sex trafficking. But first, I want to let everybody know that we have this program made available to you from some very generous sponsors, and I wanted to talk about them very briefly here. First, the food company that we call preparewithdave.com, which is really MPS, and what they have done is something just tremendous. I said, can you lower the amount of food we sell so people can afford it? They said, sure, what do you want? And I said, 4 weeks. And people can build on that. And they did that. And they said $250, which is reasonable. And I said, can we do better? We're down to $99. 25-year shelf life, great quality food. How do you get to yours? Well, put in the URL, preparewithdave.com. No coupon code needed. Right there, get started getting the peace of mind that comes with knowing that you're protecting your family for whatever could be coming our way. And there seems to be a lot coming our way, as you're going to hear this evening. Also, we are brought to you by my friend Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. I love what Steve does. I'm a customer of Steve. We're not only friends and colleagues, but I am his customer, and I am very, very satisfied. And he has helped me convert a lot of my soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals that'll hold their value. How can you do the same with Steve? Well, no pressure from Steve. He'll simply just advise you, and you can give him a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. And speaking of Steve, just a quick reminder about his conference that's coming up in September. The 14th through the 16th, the Transhumanism Conference with all the notables in the profession are going to be there. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm going to be there. Steve invited me to cover it as a member of the media, and I'm really hoping I can meet all of you since I've talked to so many of you through the years. And the way that you can sign up, and you got to do it quickly because they're 90% sold out, you need to go to either thecommonsenseshow.com or stevequayle.com, and in the right-hand column of both websites, you'll see the ad for the conference. Simply click it on and you'll go right to the registration page. And I really hope we'll get to see all of you there. Okay, thanks to those who sponsor this show, but let's get on with the show because we've got a lot of important stuff to cover. Robert David Steele is no stranger to our audience. He is greatly respected. People constantly request that I bring him back on the air, and we're happy to do so, and he's generous enough with his time to engage us. And he is here to talk to us about what I think is the most reprehensible crime on the face of the earth, and that's child sex trafficking. Robert, glad you could join us, my friend. I'm looking forward to learning what you're doing, and I've seen some videos about what you're doing, and they're very impressive. And I know there's certain things that you can't say, but I know you'll disclose everything you can.
I'm happy to more or less confirm some of your worst fears. I can't name names, and there's a lot of stuff I'm constrained from discussing because we still have a number of witnesses, particularly for the U.S. scene, for the future U.S. scening, that are under both development and validation. We're taking all of this very, very seriously. But I do believe the lid is about to be blown off the human trafficking situation in the United States, and what President Trump is certainly already aware of is that the U.S. government has elements that are totally engaged in human trafficking as a profit center.
Yeah, I told you when we were speaking before we came on air that I have an FBI contact who's previously proven reliable on many occasions, and this person informed me that there are elements, in their opinion, of DHS and the CIA, and this person stressed rogue elements of both, not mainstream elements, that are actually facilitating child sex trafficking of young females coming into America across our southern border. Are you aware of any of that?
I can't tell you that I'm directly aware at an evidentiary point right now. Clearly, the FBI is not investigating this stuff. I mean, I was appalled when the director of the FBI, Christopher Wray, testified to Congress recently that he had found 545 kids, I think it was. That's out of 800,000 that go missing in any given year. The FBI tells Congress it's found 545 kids and there are 800,000 missing across 18,000 police jurisdictions that the FBI has no clue what's going on in. So this is not serious. I do like the fact that you emphasize rogue elements, although I'm very concerned because I don't believe that the inspectors general of the CIA, the FBI, the Department of State, in fact, I just read something that pointed out that there was no inspector general the entire time Hillary Clinton was at the Department of State. That was no doubt very deliberate. We are simply not cleaning house, and I certainly hope that our president, when he gets down to human trafficking, he doesn't just go after the bankers. He needs to go after all elements of the United States, including the rogue elements of Child Protective Services, the Boy Scouts, and so forth. I do want to emphasize, most of these institutions that have become hunting grounds for pedophilia did not start out that way. They attract pedophiles, and over time the pedophiles achieve positions of authority, and they then use the capabilities of those organizations to prey on children. Though I'm quite certain that a lot of these children were not only separated from human traffickers rather than parents, but they are now being recycled toward more human traffickers.
I think there's no question that that's going on at various levels. I have a contact inside the State Department. She names herself Monica Wesolowski. You know, they've come after her with a vengeance, Hatch Act violations for displaying Trump's photo after he was elected on her desk. But she has told me that they absolutely refuse in the graphics department of the State Department to portray anything related to child sex trafficking in domestic United States. They only are allowed to portray it on their documents with their graphic displays to be external of the United States. Don't you find that interesting?
Well, you know, Sun Tzu said that you have to know your enemy and you have to know yourself. And President Trump's biggest challenge today, apart from cleaning up the election system and cleaning up the banking system, his biggest challenge today is the fact that most Americans are ignorant of the many great crimes that are being done in our name and at our expense, not only overseas, but right here in the United States of America. We need to clean house. And unfortunately, there are too many Obama holdovers, too many Freemasons, too many Knights of Malta, too many Opus Dei, too many Zionist Seonim, Zionist helpers. 9% of all congressmen and 9% of all senior executive service officers in the United States are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. This is insane. We have a counterintelligence cesspool in this country, and until the president gets that cleaned out, particularly at the FBI, Department of Justice, Jeff Sessions' greatest mistake was in recusing himself, because that meant he was handing his authority down to Obama holdovers.
Well, I agree, and like Rosenstein, case in point. But to me, if we can see it so clearly, why can't Trump see it to the level where
I have no doubt that the president sees it. I mean, this is a street fighter and a smart guy, and all of right now the president is about to unleash over $1.5 trillion through over 1,500 people who will then begin spending money on new jobs and new construction. I mean, the stuff this guy is pulling out of a hat, from the unification and denuclearization of the Koreas to the next Middle East peace conference and a summit with Putin, the domestic stuff that he's doing is extraordinary. The only thing that would make my day is if Ruth Bader Ginsburg were given an offer she couldn't refuse and left the court. This is a woman who has been falsely accused of trying to lower the age so that pedophilia would be legalized, but she is of that tendency, and she represents everything that's wrong with the Supreme Court as it tries to destroy family values. So I think things are going well. I think Trump knows that there's a lot going on. But let me make an important point. The U.S. secret intelligence community is absolutely worthless at giving the president the intelligence he needs to clean up the domestic situation. I, in fact, have a one-pager to the president, co-authored with William Binney, on how he needs to create an open-source agency to give him the intelligence he needs to clean house. The secret intelligence community is, according to General Tony Zinni, provides at best 4% of what a major commander needs, and nothing for everybody else. And they focus on war and terrorism, not on health and human services, agriculture, child advocacy, and so forth. So America needs a public intelligence capability that allows for evidence-based governance. And I personally believe that false flag club and school shootings that are organized by FEMA and DHS on the one hand, and pedophilia that is being fostered by rogue elements of not just federal government, but state and local governments. Those are the twin pillars for waking up the public going toward 2020.
I agree. Listen, you're taking the words out of my mouth. I've reported a lot of these same things. But to go back to a point that I kind of left on the table, if we can see these things so clearly about the deep state, and I have no doubt that Trump is aware, his people are aware, why is he so slow in acting towards cleansing the government of the deep state, the Obama holdovers?
Well, let me give Trump high marks for his OMB director, Mulvaney. I am just blown away by Director Mulvaney's efforts on reorganizing the federal government. I mean, he's meeting one of the president's major promises. He's basically dismantling the Department of Education by folding it into the Department of Labor. And it turns out the same congressional committee handles both, so this is not an issue with Congress. The president is doing what he can to restructure the federal government. I think, and I've never been a president like President Trump. I've never been a billionaire like President Trump. So I can only imagine. But my sense is that he is spending every single day not only launching major new initiatives, but fighting off the deep state, the shadow government, all of the people that are trying on the worst extreme to assassinate him, on the other extreme, diminish him. I mean, everybody in this country except for his base is against him. The media is against him. Hollywood is against him. The banks are against him. The most CEOs are against him because they know that Trump is going to basically force them to start doing honest business and stop wasting 50% on every product. And stop gouging the public. I mean, I can build most of what we build in America today. I can build for 10% of the cost of the Western economic paradigm using open source everything engineering. So I think it's the second Trump term that is going to see some major initiatives, including major cuts against the secret intelligence community and the military industrial complex. Trump has used the two missile attacks against Saudi Arabia to gauge the military industrial complex. He knows that 30% of Raytheon's missiles didn't work. So there's a come to Jesus moment coming in the second term. I think in the first term, he's done all he can do against all odds.
Are you concerned about the blue wave sweeping Democrats into control of the House of Representatives?
No. I actually think that most Democrats are on very thin ice, but the president has not done the one thing that I really think he needs to do in time for 2018, and that's an election reform act that would empower independents, libertarians, and greens, as well as the smaller parties such as my friend Vernon Good from the Constitution Party, the Working Families Party with Bill de Blasio, the Justice Party with Rocky Anderson. the president needs to unite the country. And the way you unite the country, 70% of the country is disenfranchised in our present voting system that's dominated by the Democratic Party owning 17% of the voters and the Republican Party, which is not true to its conservative principles, owning 13% of the party. The way Donald Trump triumphs in the 2018 elections is by using the 4th of July to announce the Election Reform Act and declaring independence from the two-party tyranny. That brings the independents, the Greens, and the Libertarians into Congress. It creates a swing vote, and it ends pay-to-play politics.
Okay. I will welcome that, and I don't mean to be skeptical, but I'll kind of believe it when I see it, Robert, because the system is so entrenched in corruption. It just is going to take a major overhaul to undo all the corruption that takes place.
Look at the Supreme President Trump on his travel ban. The president has a lot of power. The president's biggest problem right now is he's surrounded by people who are telling him, for God's sakes, whatever you do, don't talk to Robert Steele and don't talk to Cynthia McKinney. They're both Muslim-loving communists. And they will absolutely embarrass you. They're lying to the president. They're telling the president what they think he needs to hear so he won't talk to me or Cynthia McKinney. I mean, I can deliver the independents, half the libertarians, and Cynthia can deliver the Greens and the Blacks. Okay? End of message. What part of unite the country is not being understood by the president? It's the part where people are lying to him and keeping him from talking to the very people that could help him the most going into November.
Well, okay, let's assume, and listen, I think you're right about the blue wave, and I think it's fizzling, but let's look at what the options are then for the liberal left, the Democrats, if you will. Look at the Occupy Portland movement, in which 1,500 protesters have taken over the ICE building. You know, I'm worried, Robert, and I want you to calm my fears, but I'm worried that one of these incidences like this is going to provide the spark that could eventually lead to a civil war.
Well, what I really like is that George Soros completely failed. The whole hashtag resist movement completely failed. And it failed because the Americans understood that Trump won for a good reason, because Trump was against the deep state, against the shadow government, against bankers manipulating currency and interest rates and subprime mortgages and basically screwing the hell out of the poor and the shrinking middle class. I believe that incidents like Portland are contrived, but I absolutely agree with you, Dave. The president is failing to organize his message. For example, Sarah Huckabee has been an abject failure on this whole children's thing. The lady that speaks for the Department of Homeland Security has done a much, much better job of pointing out that 10 of the 12,000 children in custody were taken away from human traffickers, not from their parents. That's not being played out in the mainstream media, and Huckabee sucks at really making that point. So I think the time has come for Huckabee to move on. The president needs to find a communications team that can do what I call holistic analytics. He is not being well represented to the American public, and that's something we need to change, and we need to change it before November of 2018. So a truth channel is very high on my list of priorities. A truth channel plus the Election Reform Act is how the president becomes the greatest president ever and gets himself a Congress that does evidence-based governance.
So you're saying move away from Twitter and have some kind of internet-based truth channel?
Oh, I love that you said that, because I actually want to replace Twitter with something we're going to call Trumpets. part of the problem, yeah, I know, it's fun. Part of the problem, and I don't mean to politicize this, because my nonprofit activities with respect to election reform are completely independent of who's president and who's in Congress. This is about putting the public back into public government. But the bottom line here is I'm talking to Ray, the founder of BitChute. We're talking about building a new social ecology that has text messages, emails, the substitute for Twitter, and of course, BitChute is a substitute for YouTube. And we want to create a social ecology that cannot be censored, manipulated, or used to digitally assassinate conservative voices, which is what YouTube and Facebook and Twitter have been doing. I've written a seminal article on how they do it, and your listeners can find it at tinyurl.com/Google Gestapo. I coined the hashtag Google Gestapo. That's all you need to go and read about how the entire social media is being used to destroy family values and conservative voices.
You don't get any argument from me on that point. The YouTube demonetization practices are horrendous, but even worse is the shadow banning they do. Where I used to get 400,000 people for a video, I now get 4,000. And it happened, I can go and point to the date. It was March 17th of 2017. I mean, it was that dramatic. It was that sudden. Now, occasionally I'll eke out a 20,000, but that would have been a 2 million in the past. So I know,
Dave,
exactly what you're talking about.
David, that's called torturous interference. It sounds to me like you have a very legitimate case for suing YouTube, and you should. And if you want to know a good lawyer, I do know one.
The problem is YouTube's owned by Google, and both entities can outspend me in court before I ever see a judge.
Not if your lawyer is working on contingency and doesn't charge you a penny.
That is something that we'll pursue off air.
Dave, I'm waiting to hear. There's two billionaires that are talking to me. I'm waiting to hear if I'm going to have a significant amount of money to spend in the next few months. If I do get this funding, I'm planning to mount a very well-funded campaign called Sue and Screw. It will include a nationwide legal conference seeking 10,000 people who have legitimate grievances against Amazon, Facebook, Google, Meetup, Twitter, YouTube, and Wikipedia. And it will also sponsor a nationwide conference seeking to create the substitute social media ecology that puts all of these people out of business.
Or certainly break them up, as they should be. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Are they not unregulated monopolies that are violating antitrust laws?
They're not only violating Title VII discrimination laws, they're also violating some common carrier laws and regulations. And I'm not a legal expert, but the bottom line is they are completely out of control. My personal estimate is there are at least 10,000 people with legitimate grievances that could lead to $1 billion win in court. Maybe more than $1 billion. Because if you can show conspiracy, you can get triple damages. So my bottom line is what's been lacking so far is the seed money and the imagination to bring everyone together. I mean, I was very disappointed in Mike Adams from Natural News. He decided he didn't want to sue. And he was a poster child for a perfect case for suing YouTube. And Alex Jones is a poster child for taking down the whole false flag thing with Sandy Hook. And it looks like he's either chickening out or being paid off. So part of the problem is people are not using the existing legal system the way it was intended to be used, in a very methodical way that places the emphasis on discovery and bringing forward evidence and ensuring that we get at the truth using the established legal system. Too many people are afraid of Google, and like you have pointed out, they fear things that they don't realize they can get for free. These cases against Google and YouTube are ironclad wins, but people are afraid of committing to going all the way on a federal case, and that's a mistake.
Well, it's not something that I'll fail to follow through with if I have the means and resources to carry it out. I don't want to bankrupt my family in the process of fighting for YouTube rights. But you know, I understand what you're saying. I know, you know, I have an agent that represents me on YouTube. That's how bad it's become. And he brings me private advertising. And he says he has a lawyer that's willing to take this on contingency as well. So we're exploring that. I know everyone I talk to in the independent media and people you've interviewed with, we've all talked about this. I'm surprised.
See, Dave, one of the things that I've pointed out is as soon as you have a legal lawsuit against Google and YouTube, but I also want to do all the others. I mean, Amazon is banning books, reviewers, and reviews. Facebook is doing to Donald Trump what YouTube is doing to you. They've dropped our president down to almost nothing in the way in which they're managing who sees his poster. I'm sorry, that's Twitter. But the bottom line is they're all corrupt. Now, once you get into discovery, you can start demanding lists of every conservative channel that's been shut down. You can start demanding lists of every video that's been banned. Okay, there is no end to the discovery that can be done, but you've got to get the legal process to work for you.
I agree. I know what you're talking about with discovery. My fear also, too, and let me give you the flip side of this, is that I've seen so many bad judicial rulings from liberal judges just against our own president, you know, particularly with the immigration issue, that I'm just wondering, you know, what are your chances of prevailing in court with the system the way it is?
Well, again, it's all a matter of publicity and presidential attention. I mean, Amy Zegart wrote an excellent book called Flawed by Design, in which he talked about how things you have to either fix big or don't fix at all. And Matt Taibbi has done a wonderful book called The Divide on the legal system. One system for the rich, one system for the poor. What we have going for us right now is public outrage. I used to be a Republican, a Reagan Republican, but I have nothing but scorn and disdain for the Republican Party today. They don't actually represent conservative values. They don't represent people. They're not doing anything at all to try and grow and bring in veterans and all these other people who have legitimate grievances. What should be happening right now is the president should be using the bully pulpit to call all these people out. And he should be, I personally think that the Department of Justice should have a racketeering investigation going on against Amazon, Facebook, Google, Meetup, which is canceling conservative meetups at the same time that it's supporting seditious meetups co-sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League, which is the Zionist secret police in this town. And then, of course, Twitter and YouTube and Wikipedia. There should be a RICO investigation of all of them. And the whole issue should be whether they should be regulated and whether they should be severely punished, as the Europeans have been punishing them, for their clear actions against the public interest. That's not happening. Now, again, the Department of Justice seems to be bogged down. And I certainly wish Jeff Sessions well. He was one of the first people to support Donald Trump, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. But right now, the Department of Justice does not appear to be working effectively to clean up America.
Well, is that by design or by incompetence?
I honestly don't know. It's probably some of all.
Well, I guess I kind of answered my own question. The name Rosenstein came to mind.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Rosenstein should be gone. I'm quite sure that if the president were to have NSA poll, and Bill Binney and I did a memorandum to Jeff Sessions, copied to the president, on how to use the NSA data that hasn't been processed. I guarantee you that if NSA is tasked to produce every email and every phone call Rosenstein had ever made, that man is ripe for Guantanamo, or you can make him an offer he can't refuse. He resigns and disappears. We have every phone call and every email that man has ever done.
What do you think he's done?
I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to say that the president should use the powers at his disposal, and he should tell NSA he wants every email and every phone call Rosenstein has ever made.
I have my suspicions, too. let's go back to the child sex trafficking. I watched a video of a committee that you seem to be chairing, And
no, I'm the chief counsel.
Okay. All right. Sorry about the misuse of terms. But you were certainly delegating who speaks and what the topics were. And so you were certainly the person to talk to about what this group is doing. Let's talk about their work in the area of child sex trafficking and what you've learned and why the American people should care.
Well, for me, the key thing is the legitimacy of government. I did my first graduate thesis at Lehigh University on predicting revolution. The two biggest preconditions of revolution are concentration of wealth on the one hand and loss of faith in the government on the other. Although Donald Trump was elected barely by 27% of the eligible voters, he is still struggling with a mass of people who don't completely understand that the U.S. government is not working in the public interest. So for me, pedophilia is the seventh veil. And Pizzagate and David Seaman, shout out to David and Liz Crokin and others, they've done some really good work. The bottom line here is that until the public understands that every single governor in the United States of America is complicit in allowing not just pedophilia, but murderous pedophilia to go on in their state, they're going to continue to be living in a dream world. Our governors and our members of Congress and our cabinet leaders are tolerating massive crimes against children as being acceptable and not worth fighting for. The minute the American public understands that, it will abolish the U.S. government in its present form and demand a complete reboot. That's why pedophilia matters. And false flags are the other side of that coin. As soon as the public understands that Sandy Hook was a complete fabrication, it was a FEMA capstone exercise, the parents were all bribed with massive amounts of money, we still can't get the names of these alleged children that sang at the NFL Super Bowl. Jim Fetzer has done a tremendous amount of work there. And I ran a false flag for CIA. I know what they look like. I know what they smell like. When I spoke to thousands of people at Rolling Thunder in front of the Lincoln Memorial, my Forrest Gump moment, that's available in 3 minutes on video. I said the NRA under Ole North is not going to be successful pushing back on the anti-gun agenda unless it first confronts the whole false flag thing. So if this money comes through for me, I'm earmarking $1 million for a national conference on, and I'll give you the list, 7 false flags: the Boston bombing, Charlottesville, Las Vegas, Parkland, Sandy Hook, Orlando, and 9/11. We are going to blow the complicity of national, state, and local governments in 7 false flag operations. And that, combined with pedophilia, is going to shake the U.S. government to its roots.
But then what happens? I'm going to put myself in the mind of the deep state, the purveyors of this corruption. If I'm losing my political grip, and there's some evidence to suggest that they are to some degree, but if I'm in risk of losing a lot of it, and if my proteges or minions are going to prison, and I could be next on the witness list, they won't stop at anything, in my humble opinion, to bring this country down to avoid what's coming their way.
Well, that's the pessimistic point of view. Let me say first off, I think, although I don't know him personally, I hope I do one day, I think Donald Trump is an extraordinarily clever street fighter. And the 20 or 30,000 indictments that are on the table right now, they're not there to be opened and served. They're there to neutralize 90% of the deep state. I think our president has successfully neutralized the deep state. I think he's also following a truth and reconciliation path, which is very wise. Hanging Bill and Hillary Clinton is not going to help anybody. I have been saying for a long time that it's better to educate the many than to hang the few. I don't have a vindictive bone in my body. What I want them to do is get out of the way. And so what I see happening here is the need for a massive educational effort. The president needs a truth channel. And one of the reasons I like Mulvaney so much is he's doing what I've suggested, which is he's doing short YouTubes that educate the public. That needs to be done by all of the assistant secretaries across the board. There needs to be a Trump channel, a Trump studio, Trump fireside chats. Basically, the president's press team sucks. They just don't know how to think about educating an entire nation on everything all of the time. And that's the biggest gap in the president's toolkit from where I sit. So I don't think the deep state is going to win. I'm talking to Ben Fulford and many others in London and elsewhere. I've got direct channels to the indirect channels through one intermediary to the elders. My bottom line is I believe the president has triumphed. It's taking too long to roll out the new wealth. That needs to be accelerated. And he needs a completely new press team that's able to do strategic communications across the board on everything. He does not have that. And that just kills me, because that's the one thing that would allow him to sweep Congress in November to include putting independents, Greens, and Libertarians into office. We've missed the entire primary season because his team was too slow to move the money. We can still get 10% of a swing vote in November if we act now. And that includes getting specific Republicans and Democrats to agree that they will not caucus with their party.
Why wouldn't you want them to do that?
Because the parties, the two-party tyranny is corrupt to the bone. The Republican Party sells votes. The Democratic Party sells votes. Sheldon Adelson is buying votes. So when you caucus with your party, you're basically saying you're going to vote the party line. The party line is always corrupt. One of the things Cynthia McKinney and I agreed on some time ago is that it's people, not parties, that matter now. The president needs to unite the people and put the two-party tyranny to death.
It's interesting. I've had the same exact thought, but those mechanisms are so all-powerful. Let's just talk about for a second the White House press team that would be the dream team in your mind. With as much of the media that is liberal, with as much as the media that opposes Trump personally and philosophically, where would he go to find experienced press people that could carry out the mandate you're talking about?
Well, let's unpack that a little bit, and your listeners can find my vision for Trump going long at tinyurl.com/Trump2 and then Longview. Trump number two, Longview. Trump is a real estate genius, right? Why is he wasting White House real estate on scum? Step one is clear the press out of the White House. Take away their press credentials. Tell them that from now on, the president's press secretary will speak to them at the National Press Club. End of message. Clear the scum out of there. Now you have a piece of real estate that you can turn into a Trump studio, a grand strategy cell. I personally think we need to abolish the National Security Council, because that is the deep state's controlling feature inside of the White House. The president needs a global strategy clerk, not a national security czar, because 80% of the president's challenges are not in the national security arena, and he's proven to be a genius at talking to Xi Jinping and Putin. The Koreas would never have happened if Trump had allowed Herbert McMaster to destroy the Koreas and the unification, nuclearization. That was all Xi making the offer and Trump closing the deal. Similarly, in the Middle East, Putin is making an offer. Trump is going to close the deal, and that is going to denuclearize Israel and put them back into a box, which is long overdue. So clear out the press. Turn that space into three things: a Trump studio, a grand strategy red cell, and an open source intelligence unit that provides the president with public intelligence on all threats, all policies, all costs, all the time. He can get 90% of what he needs in terms of presidential intelligence in support of a presidential agenda by doing those three things in the next 90 days. And oh, by the way, if he does that and then announces an election reform act on the 4th of July, he will own Congress, and by owning Congress, I mean he will have a Congress that is not controlled by a two-party tyranny that has been bought out by Sheldon Adelson and the Saudis and the Israelis and others. or bribed and blackmailed, which is the Zionist specialty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listen, this makes such good sense. So where's the step up to the plate? I mean, what will precipitate this moment? Is it
got a preliminary call. I am told that the president has finally realized that he's being lied to about both me and Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia McKinney is an elegant woman of impeccable integrity, of national stature. She could help the president with the Sandinistas as well as people of color. And I believe that there are a number of people out there that can be brought into play. Personally, I think Tucker Carlson has enormous potential, but he's being handicapped by Fox News. Fox News has got some producers that are owned by the deep state. They're holding Sean Hannity back. They're holding Tucker Carlson back. They're holding Brett Baer back. Those are the only three that I really watch on a regular basis. So the president needs his own truth channel, and it's a truth channel that relies less on press manipulation strategy and more on the common sense of the American people. You connect the American people to the truth and everything will be fine.
That's the challenge, though, because see, since the start of modern mass media, it's largely been controlled, and that control has only grown.
Well, I disagree. The alt-right, until YouTube started shutting down over 1,000 conservative channels, that as best I can estimate, the alternative media, for example, put me on the map. I mean, God bless Hagman and Hagman and Victoris Libertas, which has been put out of business by YouTube, and so many others, including yourself and J.B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. I think the alternative media has made a difference. What's missing is the president making a personal commitment to election reform and a truth channel. If he does those two things, it's game over.
I know, and this is my source of frustration, Robert. I have produced no less than 5 publications saying, Mr. President, we helped get you elected. Where are you in your support of the alt media? Mm-hmm. And it's lacking. It's 100% lacking. And he's not even speaking on the issue.
I would say, on the one hand, I would give the president credit for all that he's accomplished in the face of enormous opposition. On the other hand, I would say his attorney general is not living up to the job.
Okay, there's where I was going with that. And this is why I believe Jeff Sessions needs to be shown the door. If you agree with me, who would you replace him with?
Oh, Judge Napolitano immediately comes to mind.
I don't disagree with that at all. What's your opinion of Trey Gowdy?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, me too.
I really am not. I mean, I see a mix of deep seriousness and deep flakiness.
I totally agree with you on that point. If you were to look at the country as a whole and talk about level of awareness, what percentage of the country do you think really comprehends the kind of discussion that you and I are having here today?
It has jumped from 15% to 30%. The president can take it to 60 to 70%. But only the president can take it to 60 to 70%.
It's like we're waiting for a jump start. And let me tell you why I say this. You know, my background is in the social sciences, research, and stat. And I'm going to quote a SNARC statistic, and they're a social psychology research think tank group. And their research told them that when a movement reaches 10% of committed followers, then it becomes a trend that can turn into an explosion. Well, we've crossed that Rubicon.
No, you asked me a different question. You asked me about consciousness. You didn't ask me about commitment.
This is what I'm getting at. What is it going to take to get to bridge that gap between awareness and action?
If the president were to sponsor the Election Reform Act and a truth channel or an open source agency with a Trump studio, and then if he were to get a new attorney general that immediately put a RICO investigation onto Amazon, Facebook, Google, Meetup, Twitter, YouTube, and Wikipedia. And we put serious money on it, and we told them they have until the 7th of December to report out. It's game over. Greatest president ever, and America comes back. And don't forget, the president is about to pump $1.5 trillion into the economy from the bottom up. And that is going to blow people's minds.
What kinds of things can we expect from that infusion of money?
Jobs and new construction. What I've been told, and I have no direct access, I'm just taking the two billionaires that are talking to me at faith, and they're new billionaires, by the way. What they're saying is that the president's marching orders are, you will not rent, you will build, and you will not hire part-timers. You will create new jobs for people who are unemployed, not new jobs that move someone from another job. This is a very, very strategic move. It's brilliant.
And American citizens, I would presume.
That's a good question. I think so. Let me make a point about Mexico. The media is trying to play the new Mexican, the likely winner of the Mexican presidential election, as Trump's enemy, who's going to flood the Americas with the illegal immigrants. It's absolute crap. The fellow that's about to win the presidential election in Mexico, who's run twice before and was probably cheated out of a win by election fraud once before, he is a Mexican Trump. And the president could have no finer ally on the southern border than this guy. And we all have to understand, part of the Truth Channel is understanding our history. The United States of America stole all of the land from the Guadalupe Hidalgo line down to the southern border with Mexico. It stole that land on the basis of lies. All right. Now, when Home Depot has everything in English and Spanish, the world has changed. I am Latino. Latinos come in all colors, from white to red and yellow. I am Latino. The core element of political power going toward 2024 is going to be Latino. The president needs to get a grip on that. I think that his having a face-to-face with the future president of Mexico, and his agreeing that Mexico and the United States share an antipathy to the deep state, and recognizing that Canada is a Commonwealth nation as part of the deep state, now you start to get into some very, very interesting possibilities. There's no question in my mind that the United States is at a turning point in history. And so far, the president is not using all of the tools that are at his disposal. I'd like to see him come out with a double punch. Election reform on the 4th of July, and an open source agency, or Trump Studio, and a RICO Act. And of course, Napolitano is attorney general. Napolitano's attorney general should be told to do at least two things. One, do a RICO Act on all these people. And two, start doing all the paperwork toward nationalizing the Federal Reserve.
That's music to my ears as well, too. What would you do with the social media? What would you advise Donald Trump to do about them?
You know, the president is, as he puts it, gifted at negotiation. I would use the RICO Act, and I would use the threat of a substitute social ecology to impose draconian regulation on social media and force them to live up to the same standards that AT&T and Verizon and others have to live up to.
I watched a couple of times reviews of Ted Cruz, congressional grilling of Facebook, congressional grilling of several social media types. And he asked him a simple question. He said, are you an open forum? And then he said, let me preface it by saying this. If you call yourself an open forum, then you can't censor. If you censor, you're responsible for all illegal content that goes on your site. Do you agree with Ted Cruz on that point?
Yes, I do. And let me point out that there's an excellent legal case, Johnson versus Twitter, that has been very well written. And it brings out all of the commitments that Twitter made about being an open town hall. There is absolutely no question but that every single member of hashtag Google Gestapo is liable for a multi-billion dollar loss in court for discriminating, for tortious interference, and for a whole bunch of other things, and also for conspiracy. because I think they're talking to one another. And by the way, the common feature in all of these is the Anti-Defamation League. The Anti-Defamation League is the so-called trusted flagger for all of them. The Anti-Defamation League, at the end of the day, needs to lose its nonprofit status and be forced to register as an agent of a foreign power.
You know, that statement would have been considered to be prejudicial and bigoted 5 years ago. I think most of America embraces that view now, at least with the people that follow my work.
Well, Dave, let me tell you, for those who want to go to robertdavidsteele.com, if they go to robertdavidsteele.com and they click on articles or publications and then articles, they'll see that I have written a number of articles about the end of Zionism in America. Zionism in America is up to 14 strikes now. And the first 7 strikes were in an article I published in Veterans Today called Zionism in America, 7 Strikes and Counting. They're up to 14 strikes now. Zionism is not Judaism. They're different. Zionism is a subversive movement that is destroying the state of Israel. It's destroying Judaism, and it is subverting the American economy, the American government, American society. The 9 million Jews in America have been told by Netanyahu they can piss off. They don't get any privileges on the wall. They're nothing. They're one step above shiksas, which is the Zionist term for Gentile girls that are whores and can be done with as you wish. The 9 million American Reform and Progressive Jews are potentially allies of Donald Trump. In fact, when Haaretz, one of the best journals in Israel, publishes a front page article saying, "Is it time for all Jews to boycott Israel?" Everything has changed.
I totally agree with that. I'm aware of what you're talking about, and I agree the worm has turned. Robert, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you a chance to tell people how to follow your good work, and as importantly, how to support your good work.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, because no money has been forthcoming from these billionaires yet. I would love to have people subscribe to phibetaiota.net. It's free, no ads, 4 email posts a day, phibetaiota.net. My life's work is free online at robertdavidsteele.com, and I would absolutely be grateful for donations to keep the websites and everything going. We've beaten back denial of service attacks, including one traced to a rogue element in NASA. So paypal.me/earthintel, paypal.me/earthintel is the place to give donations, and every single donor receives a personal thank you from me that opens up a conversation channel.
Absolutely. Listen, I really want to encourage people to do that. Robert, you've been very gracious with your time.